The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. We are about 6 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. Our guests today are Michael Kegley and Nick Beck. We're going to be talking about the USS Edson, which was brought to Bay City as part of the Saginaw Valley Naval Ship Museum. We're going to be talking about the process of how they got it here, what they're going to do with the ship, and how they're going to maintain it and all of that. I want to thank you gentlemen for being with us today.
Well, we sure thank you for giving us the opportunity to talk to your audience.
I guess, first of all, the USS Edson, what type of vessel is it?
That is a destroyer.
And by destroyer, that's with the big guns?
Yes. Well, the ship's motto is three guns, no waiting. 5-inch, 54 caliber guns on it. Those 5-inch guns fire 40 rounds per minute. The projectile is 70 pounds, and it'll reach out 12 miles and touch you very accurately.
Okay, that does sound ominous if you're on the other end of that. How many men serve aboard this ship? This is a really large vessel, isn't it?
Well, she's 418 feet long and 45 foot at the beam, and it's approximately 276 officers and men that served on the ship.
Well, that's a pretty hefty crew. How did this come about? The Navy, basically found the ship was no longer something viable for service, and they wanted not just to scrap it, and you folks came along?
Well, to give you a little history, the ship was commissioned in 1958, and it sailed for 30 years until 1988, and on the 4th of July of 1989, it became a museum ship in New York at the Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum. After 14 years of being a museum there, they wanted to give the ship back to the Navy, and that's where we came in. We had originally started in 1997 looking for a ship to bring here to Bay City, and in 2003, when we found out that the Edson was going to be available, we went to New York and looked at it. And in 2004, we put our application into the Navy to get the ship. And it took 8 years of paperwork to get the ship to come to Bay City.
And it did arrive.
It did arrive on August the 7th of this year, or 2012.
And basically, at this point, as I understand it, you're waiting for its final destination docking station to be completed before you move it there?
Yeah, well, we wanted to move it there this fall. However, we had a problem with tugboats. You have to have two tugboats to move it. And we had two tugboats, but one broke down. So we were stuck with just one tugboat, and you can't do the job.
And eventually, where is the ship going to be, for people who have an idea?
Just east of the Independence Bridge in Bay City. That is the last bridge. It comes off of M-15.
So that's like the Wilder Road type of bridge?
That's correct. Uh-huh.
And
Road turns into Harry Truman Parkway there, which goes over the Independence Bridge. And obviously, as big as it is, when you go over the bridge, you won't miss it.
So you will see it from the road there?
Oh, you'll be able to see it from a lot of places. She stands, when all the antennas are up where they belong, she stands 112 feet tall. So,
now, is this going to be the centerpiece of your museum, or is this going to become the museum with everything else being moved aboard?
Well, it's the centerpiece of our museum. We will have exhibits on the shore along with the ship itself. But the ship is going to be used as an educational tool for the youth of our community and state. We feel that, there's going to be a lot of old sailors come and tell sea stories and what have you, but the main purpose of the ship is to train kids.
And how are they going to train? You're going to show them on the ship how things are done? I mean, I don't think you're going to be taking it out.
No, that's for sure. I'm going to let our educational director explain that to you.
Okay, this is Nick Beck.
Several things in mind. Some of them is going to be tied to tours, you know, doing group tours with kids, and then having a little time of Q&A for those kinds of things. The other thing we're doing is we're developing a curriculum that ties into K-12 instruction, everything from kindergarten through high school, as it relates to the ship operations, navigation, flotation, and all of those kinds of things that are associated with working a ship. Especially in the areas of science and math, like physics, simple machines, chemistry, and the mathematical concepts that go against, that are applied to the operation of a ship such as this. And so what it's really going to become is probably the greatest field trip that kids of all ages will ever experience, especially right here in the local area. And you can imagine a busload of kids getting off their bus and walking onto a 418-foot floating naval vessel, going down below and looking through the various compartments, and then sitting in a classroom aboard the ship and doing experiments, building models, looking through that kind of a stuff, and then going around the ship again and seeing where those kinds of concepts are actually applied in the operation of that ship. It's going to be a really interesting and relevant and rather a remarkable experience for kids of all ages.
How complete is the ship? Obviously, they took the armament out, but, I mean, are the engines gone? I mean, there's pollution and probably asbestos from the age it was at. Did all of this other stuff get taken out?
Well, you know that the engines are there. All the guns are there, even though they're inoperable. But the only polluting things that we have to worry about is PCBs, and there's very little of that on there. Like I told the lady at EPA Region 5, there's more PCBs in the river than there is on the ship. Those things will be checked out shortly here as soon as they give us permission. And that will be done. It'll be done on an annual basis. But you got to understand, that ship sailed for 30 years. It was a museum ship for 14 years. And, of course, now they're concerned about PCBs.
Well, they weren't back when they were using them, but we know more now, and you have to be careful with today's standards.
There's less than a dozen spots that are trouble spots, and most of those can be fixed with a simple just remove the item.
How accessible will the ship be to people if they want to view it? I mean, there's hatches, there's low things you can bump your head on. You've got liability concerns and such. How open can you make it?
Well, we can, of course, obviously, we can't make it handicap accessible. Ships just were not built for handicapped people. What we will do is we'll have a virtual tour of the ship, and we'll have a kiosk on our onshore office where people that are handicapped can go and take a virtual tour by watching it on television. But we're going to open the ship. We have a tour route that was used when it was in New York. There are some areas that we will not let people into, but for instance, if you were a boiler technician in the Navy and sailed on this type of ship, or you were an engineman, we will give them a tour down in that area where they worked. Because there's a lot of folks that say, gee, you know, I work down in the engine room, and I'd sure like to show my son or my grandson where I worked today and where I slept. And of course, we're going to accommodate those people.
He'll probably say, boy, it's a lot cleaner now.
Because we are pretty pristine. Of course, the ship waited for 8 years for us to get the approval from the Navy. And, of course, during that period, you know, getting hot and cold, if you should lock your house up, you'd tell everything goes to pot. And, of course, we've got some housekeeping to do and some areas to paint.
Now, how do you maintain a ship with our kind of climate? I mean, rivers freeze and everything else. Is the ship able to handle that, or do you have to keep a bit of open water around it?
Well, we've got a system that we have devised that will keep the ship from freezing completely into the river. It's like this winter so far, we haven't had to work. But as far as the upkeep itself of the ship, we have got a core of volunteers that is just super. You just can't believe how these people come aboard and they work every day. They do anything you need. We've got a lot of talented people that are retired. electricians and plumbers and what have you that have volunteered to come in and work on the vessel.
Do you have to, obviously, since it's, you know, doesn't have the engines, you know, running and going, you don't have power, do you have to get that from offshore, and is it easily compatible, or is that a challenge?
Yeah, well, we've got the pier where the ship is going to come to its final berth is all set for us to hook up the electricity to the ship, and the ship is all ready to receive that power, which is going to make it a lot easier. Where we're at right now, if we need power, we're running for just lights. We're using a generator.
Is there a lot you can do in the winter? I mean, you know, painting, you know, you don't want it when it's freezing cold.
It's too cold to paint. We have to wait till springtime.
So you get the areas prepared to paint, that type of thing, or are you doing other things?
Well, we have got a lot of the areas that have been prepared for paint, but we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. Right now, it's the maintenance has come kind of to a standstill because of the weather. But as soon as the weather breaks, we'll be hard at it again.
How do you maintain historical accuracy? I mean, obviously you can't use the type of paints they originally used, and you want to make sure that, you know, if there were colored lines down the hallway telling, you know, where people should go, that is accurate. Is there a manual for this? Is this just Navy regs, or?
Well, we've got the books that belong to that ship. It's just like mechanics have books that tell them what to do with your car. It's the same thing with the ship. And as for the paint goes, we have the formulas for the paint, and we can purchase that paint locally. Not cheap, but we can purchase it.
Well, I don't know. Is it a special marine paint you have to use? Because I don't think latex house paint's going to cut it.
No, you're right. And it is a special paint. The paint goes for $85 a gallon.
Holy gee.
But we have made a deal with this local paint store here, and they sell it to us for $35 a gallon, which is still expensive.
It's an acrylic base, and there's really two processes. You can do the scraping and the priming. The priming is a basic sealer that goes below it, and then they do a couple of coats of this acrylic on top. And then the final coat, especially on the deck, has a sand grit in it, so it's non-skid. And then the cabin sides, which we call bulkheads, are just the regular paint up the sides where it makes it look pretty and covers up the stains.
Yeah, there's two colors. There's deck gray, and then there's haze gray. The haze gray, of course, goes on the superstructure of the ship and on the guns. And, of course, obviously the deck gray goes on the deck. And that's what we put the sand in, so that it's non-skid.
And I assume whatever paint store you're getting this from is out of gray.
Well, the paint starts as white. And then there's a formula for them to tint it to the colors we need.
It's a special Navy color that all their ships have?
It's a standard color. It's called haze gray, and all Navy ships are the same color.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just like Henry Ford said, you know, you can have any color you want as long as it's black. And it's the same way with the ship. You can have any color you want as long as it's gray.
Now, paint at 85 bucks a gallon and stuff, this sounds like this is going to be a massive endeavor to keep up.
Well, you know, of course, the thing is that it sat for 8 years. And the paint job really went to the pot. But now once we get it completed the first time, all we'll have to do is touch-up maintenance. I mean, this isn't something that we're going to have to paint every year. You just go through, and if you see some rust starting to pop through, you take care of it and catch it in the bud.
As the sailors would have done.
That's right, just like they do when they're on at sea. The nice part about it is we are in fresh water, and it's going to be a lot easier on the ship than it would be if it was in salt water.
But even so, there's parts of that ship that's always underwater. Do you have to dry dock this thing once in a while to scrape and paint the hull?
Well, what happened is when New York gave the ship back to the Navy mandated that they put it in dry dock before the Navy would take it back. And they put it in dry dock at the old Brooklyn Navy Yard, which is actually in New Jersey. But they spent $800,000 plus in its hull replacing plates that were starting to go bad and putting the latest and the greatest epoxy on the hull of the ship. So it's been estimated now that this ship is in fresh water that it'll be another 50 years before she'll need a dry docking.
That's good, because there aren't a lot of places around to take it.
That's right. We got to go someplace that can accommodate a 418 ship. Of course, you know, in the 50 years that before it goes to dry dock, I don't think I'll be here for that.
But how are you going to maintain all the other things? You're going to have an electric bill. You're going to have everything else that goes along, insurance, all this stuff that you're going to need. Do you have that funded, or is this an ongoing thing?
This is an ongoing thing. Of course, we don't let people on the ship for free. It costs money. And we'll also have different events that are money makers. For instance, on our the O2 level, the ship, there is a what we call our ceremonial deck, and that can be rented out for weddings and divorces, funerals, you know, any kind of party that you can think of. Also, we have rooms that can be rented out for meetings. We had a gentleman talk to us this morning about having an all-day seminar for his company. And, of course, we will accommodate those.
The ship store.
Of course, we've got a ship store, too, where we sell stuff, hats, T-shirts, sweatshirts, coffee cups, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, that helps to maintain the ship and keep our bills paid. Obviously, we will be going out for grants because we are a 501c3 nonprofit organization where if people donate to us, they can deduct that amount to the extent of the law.
Is this, just the first step in what you envision where the ship is eventually moored? Are you looking at putting up a bigger building there with more on the area's maritime history?
Oh, sure. Once we get up and running and we can get the money put aside to build a building, we have got plans for that already. We've had a local architect, John Meyer, who drew up the plans for our building. It will be in the shape of a ship. It'll be two stories. It'll be a green building where it will have a heat pump and so on and so forth, so it'll be cheap to operate the building.
But there are, like you've just said, there's a whole more envision to this than just starting up with the ship.
That's correct. And as time goes by and we can meet the requirements, we'll also have sleepaboards on the ship. Otherwise, youth groups, church groups, adult groups, they can come on and spend a night on the ship and get a taste for what the life of a sailor was.
Well, it sounds like with the facilities you got on there, you could almost host a captain's ball as a fundraiser.
Oh, sure. Just as long as we've got room to accommodate people, we can put them on there and have whatever venue they want.
When is all of this going to be available? Are you figuring in the spring that's when you're going to move to the final place, and then if people, say, have a wedding or something and that they got a next year or something, they can start planning for?
Yeah, well, we are taking reservations now for different things for the summer and the spring. We've got, for instance, the USS Edson Sailor Association. All former crew members are going to be here in the latter part of July and August. To have their reunion on the ship. And if people would like to make a reservation, they can call us here at the ship's office, which the phone number is 989-684-3946. Now, as far as people making tours of the ships in this weather, we are letting people go aboard the ship and tour the ship. Of course, those tours are $10, and they must be done by reservation. That way there we can assure that when people come that the weather's going to be correct. Otherwise, if we've got 1, 2, 3 inches of snow on a deck, we're not going to let people on.
Well, and you have to have somebody there who can take them on the tour. You just don't turn them loose.
That's right, and it's cold for somebody just to stand around waiting for people.
Okay. What type of action has the ship seen? The years that it was in service, sounds like it could have been anything from the Korean conflict to Vietnam to one of some of our Desert Storm type of things. How much action has the ship seen?
She's had a lot of action in Vietnam. The ship was commissioned in 1958 and sailed till 1988. She sailed for 30 years, so the only conflict that was in was in Vietnam. And it did approximately 5 to 7 tours in Vietnam. In fact, it was the only Navy ship that ever escorted a truck convoy.
How did that happen?
Oh, I know, that was coming. Obviously, the trucks weren't in the water and the ship was not on land. The ship was in the river going up, and the road was right alongside of the river. And at that time, the ship took a hit from a ground shore battery. And they returned fire, of course, and knocked out that battery. But at the interim period, 10 of the crew members got injured.
Well, I imagine only one shot with those big guns would take out a little battery like that.
Yeah, well, you figure, you know, it's like I said, it's a 5-inch 54 caliber, and it will reach out 12 miles. So, and they can do that with quite precision.
I see from the literature I received from you, they called it the Gray Ghost of the Vietnam Coast.
That's right, because they thought they had sunk the Edson.
Oh, really?
And obviously they didn't.
It was damaged, or they were just totally wrong about it?
Well, no, they damaged the ship with that shot. They took out some of the superstructure. It looked like Irish lace, and the shrapnel is what hurt the people that were on the ship. Even the captain of the ship was hurt.
But it was able to get out of the river, back to sea, and get to repairs and continue serving.
That's correct. They did local repairs, but then they took her back to Hawaii and San Diego to fix her superstructure back up and then sent her back over.
I imagine through those years the ship must have had some upgrades. I mean, the technology from when it started and when it ended really advanced.
Oh, you know, they only go a year or 2 years before they put it in the yards, and then they do put the latest and the greatest electronics and what have you and upgrade, like in the cruise mess where they had their meals. There's 18 ships in the Forrest Sherman class, and of course Edson was the last one of the class to be built. They're all supposed to be the same because they were supposedly a cookie cutter ship. But if you go on the different ships that are in the that class, you'll find the differences of when they went through a dry docking and had different systems put on.
The interesting thing about a Forrest Sherman class ship is that she's the last of what they call the pure gunships. And it has all of the improvements over World War II and the Korean type of vessel that they could imagine. And then the next class of ships that were built actually include the guided missile technology. So this is the last of the pure gunboats, and it was one of the best of the gunboat classes you would ever imagine because all the improvements have been made, and it was the last of that particular type. And then the newer ships with the technology for missiles changed the whole landscape of what destroyers were all designed to be like.
Another thing about this class of ship is before the Forrest Sherman class, if you were in the front of the ship and you had to go to the stern of the ship, you had to go outside and walk on the weather decks to get back there. So you can see if it was storming, you'd be a little damp time you got to where you wanted to be. Now, the Forrest Sherman class and the USS Edson, you can walk from one end of the ship to the other end of the ship inside.
Yeah. And I assume it was probably designed to be one of the fastest ships of its time. Destroyers usually have to get in and out.
That's correct. Of course, the job of a destroyer is not only to fire guns, but also protect the mother ship. In the case of art now, it's the aircraft carrier, that the flotilla around the doggone carrier. They'll take the destroyer will take a torpedo so that the carrier doesn't get hurt.
Was that time up the river the only time the ship was majorly damaged?
As far as we know, I mean, she did a lot of firing up on shore, but that's the only time that we're aware of that the ship got hurt. It did a lot of things at the end of the Vietnam War when they were evacuating Saigon. They picked up a lot of people to get them out of there.
Okay. So you have the ship available, and people can call. Do you have like a website that people can go to, get information about the ship, maybe?
They can even donate money on the website through PayPal.
Okay.
Our website is www.ussedson.org.
And that is actually the site then for the Saginaw Valley Naval Ship Museum. They're talking to you at that site.
That's correct. And we update that thing at the minimum of once a month. But if something happens during the month, we put it on there as fast as we can so people know what's going on.
Okay. Anything else you need to let the people know about? I know you've got the tours coming up and all that. Are you looking for a big summer this year?
We think it's going to be a tremendous summer. Bay County usually had its Veterans Day ceremonies at the county building, and they usually got, 15, 20 people come to watch the ceremony. Well, the Veterans Council this year decided to have it at the ship, and we had between 500 and 700 people come show up. We were just overwhelmed. We couldn't believe it.
Do you have to worry, because right now you've got all the locals interested, and once they've toured, and then you got to bring people from a little further away?
Well, you know, with the Destroyer Tin Can Sailors Association and the Historic Naval Ships Association, and the former Edson or four Sherman class sailors, we're nationwide. Our website takes hits from all over the world. It's just amazing, these people that are, well, Australia. Last month we had three people from Australia go on our website. We've had them in Brazil go to our website. In Iraq and Afghanistan. Of course, we know that those folks are more than likely our troops that are looking at our website. But the word is out. The ship is here.
And it's here to stay for a while, eh?
It's here to stay forever.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking some time with us today to talk about it. It's ussedson.org. If people want more info and want to see maybe some photos of the restoration work and things you're doing there right now, this summer it's going to make the move, I take it?
Yes, sir. As soon as we can get it over there, it'll be there.
And I heard you had some problems with the water levels of the river causing you grief.
Well, you know, everybody's worried more about the water levels than we are, because at our site, one normal water level is, we have 27 feet under the ship. Right now, we've got over 20 feet under the ship, so we're not too concerned about that. We only draw about 14, 15 feet.
Well, you load it up with ammunition, it'd probably take a bigger draw.
That's correct. You put ammunition, food, and people on there, it would draw more water. But, of course, we don't have that problem.
How long could the Edson stay out? I mean, with a nuclear carrier, all you have to do is supply the food and stuff, but, you know, the Edson probably needed diesel.
Well, that's true, and they had they could replenish stores and fuel when they were at sea, and they did that, where an oiler would come alongside, and they would have a fuel line passed over to the ship and fuel the ship up, and also the supply ships would bring in the munitions and food and what have you.
Sounds like that's like one of the riskiest times for a ship. You're next to a big barge full of fuel, and you can't move very fast.
That is correct. The people have to know their jobs.
All right. Well, we wish you luck, and look forward to seeing the Edson at its permanent mooring down by the Liberty Bridge.
Good. That's not the Liberty Bridge. It's the Independence.
Independence Bridge. That's the one that is... becomes Wilder Road, takes you by the Bay City Mall and all of that.
That's correct.
M15 on the east side.
Yeah, M15, M25 goes into that bridge.
Very good. Thanks for being with us today, and I hope you get a good turnout and a lot of people coming to see what you have to offer. It's an amazing thing to have in our area.
Well, thank you very kindly for speaking with us.
Our guests today on the program have been Michael Kegley and Nick Beck. We've been talking to them from the Saginaw Valley Naval Ship Museum about the USS Edson. It is in Bay City. They're working on it now. It'll make its permanent mooring later this spring, and then you can go online and arrange for tours and a whole lot of other things on the ship. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on the latest in the news.